Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Fourth, we were able to draft Reuben Hippolyte, someone we were excited about, guy that is extremely smart, tough, and one thing talking with DA is we want to continue to add our team speed, and he can fly.
And here Barham comes, Porter picks him up, but Reuben Hippolyte is in there to sack him.
I thought the player we probably saw the most improvement from when he stepped in to now was Reuben Hippolyte.
He's fast. He really, really fast. I mean, he's so fast. He makes fast people look not fast.
I got it. He's fast.
Oh, goodness gracious. Thank you, Brandon Pryor, for that open. We are delighted. You're listening to Mully and Haw on The Score, and we're delighted to welcome in Reuben Hippolyte, the Bears' rookie linebacker, joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Reuben, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, man? Appreciate y'all for having me on here.
Well, we love getting a chance to talk to you. And just to clarify, I've read that you run a 4.39 40-yard dash, which is extraordinary. Why are you playing linebacker? Shouldn't you be a running back or a speed receiver? What is it about defense, about linebacker, that always appealed to you?
Yeah, well, you know, first and foremost, I don't, you know, never really heard of any, you know, 240-pound receivers or running backs. So definitely, you know, fit in more on the defensive side. But I used to play running back in high school, early in high school. And then I made that transition after my freshman year to linebacker and then just been, you know, playing that ever since. The position has been good to me, so it hasn't led me wrong yet. So I'm just, you know, sticking with it.
Reuben, how hard or complex is this Bear defense to learn, and how do you prevent all of the information that you're now beginning to process as a rookie? How do you prevent that from you reading more than reacting and not thinking too much?
Yeah, it's not really hard at all. Like I said before in a previous press conference that I did, I played some of the concepts in college that I'm being taught now under DA's defense. The only difference is, you know, just, you know, schematically and technique-wise, he just wants, you know, the particular calls played differently and differently than I've ever played them, you know, in 3, 4, or 5 years. So it's not complex to learn. Like I said, a lot of the same concepts and things that I've seen for the past five seasons at Maryland. And I'm very thankful for, you know, the coaches that I've had at Maryland and the defenses I've been in. And it definitely prepared me to, you know, not only retain the information that I'm being taught at this level, but to, you know, go out and execute it.
Your story is extraordinary because, you know, you mentioned Maryland. You know, that's obviously Big Ten school, big time program. You're playing against some of the best players in the country. And yet you didn't get an invite to the combine, which is, I've lost track, but there's like 300 guys invited to the combine. How surprised were you when you didn't get the invite? And how much did things change when you were finally clocked in the 40?
I was surprised a little bit. I obviously knew that, you know, it was going to be easy for me just to get in the door, just because, I've had to, you know, go the extra mile a little bit my entire career, you know, start from high school, you know, all the way up to now, just, you know, put in the extra work, put in the extra time. I always knew that I was gifted and I had the ability to play at this level. But, you know, obviously my path took a little bit longer than most of my peers, which is, you know, perfectly fine. You know, not everybody's life path is going to be the same. But I was a little bit surprised. Like I said before, my first press conference here, I called the NFS twice. Huh. They told me no twice, just to get prepared for my pro day. So, you know, once I got that call, I was like, well, I got one shot to do this. And then I was training with Test Football out of New Jersey with Kevin Dunn and his staff, and Otto Bolden was Otto Bolden is the 40 coach there. And, you know, him and I have a very close relationship. And I told him, like, all right, man, I got one shot to do this. And he already knew, you know, that I was gifted in the speed department. I ran track growing up, and he, you know, was based out in South Florida around the time I was running. And we trained at Anson Sports Complex. I had a lot of meets there. So he already knew a little bit about me due to that. But, yeah, once I found out we had that one opportunity, it was go time from there. No added pressure because, you know it was, at that point, it was just, you know, proving myself right. I wasn't really focused on proving others wrong. So,
we're talking with Bears rookie linebacker Ruben Hippolyte here on The Score. Ruben, so whether it was getting ignored by the NFL Combine or the Bears getting criticized by an ESPN analyst for drafting you where they did, how much of that serves as daily motivation for you? And do you carry a little bit of a chip on your shoulder that you use for in a positive way?
I'm self-motivated. Obviously, you know, things don't always go how I wanted to go, but it's not all about that at the end of the day. It's all about God's plan, and, you know, it's my job to execute that and to just follow the plan. Yes, I have a chip on my shoulder. I've always had a chip on my shoulder, but it hasn't come from, you know, any negative influences. And by negative, I mean just, you know, doubts and hate and stuff like that. It's always been, you know, self-motor, self-starter. Just, you know, me wanting to get better each and every day, you know, me having a high standard for my ability and for my preparation, and just me wanting to be the best player to play this position, you know, come 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years down the road. So, that's where the chip and the, you know, quote unquote motivation comes from. But I mean, honestly, I'm self-motivated. I show up to work every day wanting to get better. And I don't need, you know, bulletin board material or any, you know, pep talk from anybody. I'm really, you know, self-motivated and deeply rooted in my faith, and that's what carries me.
Pretty extraordinary. And we should let our listeners know that your 40 time, the 4.39, would have been the fastest time of any linebacker at the combine had you been invited to the combine. So pretty extraordinary that you ran that time. I know you said that you visited with the Bears. You came up here. I was really blown away by the fact that you're wearing a hat the other day at the podium, and you said that you bought it like 3 weeks before the draft. It had a grizzly bear on it with the word defense. Did things go well enough in Chicago that you thought you were going to get drafted? Did you know they were going to take you? Or was that just happenstance that the hat ended up maybe fading you to Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, going back to that story that I told, I just like the hat. I was in the store. I was in the store. Like I said, I have a bunch of those hats, so I just, I got a little collection. I keep some of the hats and give some away to my friends, stuff like that. So I just like the hat. I thought it was cool. Obviously, the Bears defense at 85 was one of the best defenses that I've ever, known about. That was my thought process behind getting it, just representing that. But when I visited Chicago on my 30 visit, it was a great visit. Definitely somewhere where I wanted to play. And I was hoping that, they drafted me, and that I had an opportunity to come there, because everything is, second to none. The facilities, the people here, obviously the coaches, the coaching staff is one of the best staffs, in the league and that I've been a part of. And it's a lot of history here, as far as just not only linebacker play, but just, the team, the great city. Like I said, I'm from South Florida, so, I'm like about 30 minutes away from, Miami, which is a great city. I went to Maryland, so, D.C. was a great city for me in my time there. Obviously, Chicago is one of the best cities as well. So definitely have an appreciation for not only football and great schemes and situations, but definitely great cities, because I like to unwind a little bit and, it was definitely good to get away from time to time. But, when I came up here to visit, it was definitely a place where I wanted to play. And I'm definitely glad that I got the call from Chicago.
Want to ask you about a couple of sports stars who preceded you here who might have some familiarity from the DMV, the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area that you went to college at. Caleb Williams, obviously. I wonder what your awareness was. And did you have a relationship with Caleb before you arrived as a Bear? And then Matt Shaw, who was also a product of the University of Maryland, is a Cub starting third baseman. Did you have any crossover or interaction with those guys before you became a Bear?
Yes, so I knew of Caleb, especially when he was coming out, coming to when he committed to OU. I know he had a chance to come to Maryland because Coach Loxley knew a lot about him. Obviously, Coach Loxley, his footprint in the DMV is a big one. So I know he has a lot of pull. Obviously, a great coach, great recruiter, somebody who I call one of my, biggest mentors and people that I can pick up the phone and call every time. That's my guy. So I knew of him. He played my former high school a few years ago. He kind of gave him the business a little bit. And then obviously Matt, I knew Matt, I didn't know Matt, I knew of Matt. I knew he was a hell of a baseball player. And he got called up recently, I think, to the Cubs. So I think we'll be there Friday. All the rookies, we're going to be there Friday. So to catch the game. But yeah, I mean, like I said, a lot of talent from DMV, a lot of talent coming out from Maryland. It's probably one of the, not being biased, nothing, but, if you ask me, this is the best school to be at as far as opportunity, not only in the classroom, you're going to get top-tier education, but, so it's a great, city to network in and to, find mentors and to, you get the best of both worlds. You get all four seasons. It's great.
What was it like for you to hear your head coach, your new head coach, Ben Johnson, call you out as one of the guys that has captured his attention? You're one of two defensive players that he gave a shout out to a couple of offensive players. And it was interesting because he was asked the day before who had impressed him. And he was like, well, ask that again tomorrow and I'll let you know. And he had your name there. And I bet that was somewhat of a kick, even though you don't have pads on and you're not really knocking people over. You're obviously doing something right.
Yeah, when I came on my visit, Coach Johnson was the only, head coach that I met with who had a vision and plan for me as far as how he saw me, impacting or making an impact on his team. And he's definitely a coach that I connected with, in a short span, a short period of time. Obviously, the 30 visits are like, a day and a half. So, like I said, he was the only head coach that, had a vision for me, and really was excited about what I had to offer. not only my speed, obviously, but just, my cerebral, like my ability to be smart on a football field, and then, obviously the character aspect. But, it was great. Like I said, I go out there every day just, want to get better. I want to be the best version of myself every day. That's my mantra. That's the vision I have for myself every time I come in the building. Whether I feel like it or not, I'm just focused on, making sure that I leave the field better than, better than what I did yesterday or the day before that, and just continue to stack the days and just make the days count. I'm very big on that. So it was great. Obviously, it's OTAs, so it's not a, you can't, win or lose your job in OTAs. I've been hearing that a lot. It's all about just learning. We're all learning. All of us are learning a new system. We're just getting better, man. Just focus on taking the next steps that we need. So, come training camp, come this season, we'll be able to dominate.
Great stuff, Ruben. Thank you. Really
best
wish you
of luck.
The best.
Great attitude.
Absolutely.
Keep it up.
Yeah, no doubt. I appreciate y'all.
That is Ruben Hippolyte. He's self-motivated, Mr. David.
Impressive young man.
Yeah.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What should the Cubs do about Ben Braun after Wednesday's shaky outing? One, immediately remove him from the rotation and head him over to the bullpen. Two, use an opener from now on to address his first inning issues. Or number three, give him another chance to keep his spot in the rotation.
My sense is they're going to probably give him another shot in the rotation to keep the status quo because of what we said coming into the show today, trying to keep a positive attitude and a sense of perspective. They are still 14 games over 500. They have a comfortable lead in the NL Central, and they have a young pitcher struggling for consistency. That said, I'm not sure I would ever use him again. I shouldn't say ever. I would be reluctant to use him again without an opener. I think what we have created, or the Cubs have created or contributed to, is this idea that guys need that one inning to adjust or adapt or to tone things down internally. And whether it's true or not, or whether we think it's valid or not, whether we think we long for the good old days when pitchers would just go out and give you six or seven, it doesn't matter, because I think the Cubs have maybe Ben Brown in his head believing he's better with an opener. He rose to the occasion with Scooble on the mound on Friday night, but I do think there are examples where guys benefit from that first inning, and it takes the edge off a little bit. I would try that next. Drew Pomerantz, come on down. Brad Keller, start the game. Whoever it is, Chris Flexen, go out there and take the first inning for Ben Brown, and then let Ben Brown come in from the bullpen. He doesn't have to worry about the pomp and the circumstance of any kind of opening the game and any kind of anxiety that he's found difficult to manage, and start with command. That's what I would do. And I would do it next time out, because you can't afford to waste another start.
To be fair, and I know normally I'm not the to be fair guy, he was outstanding on Friday without an opener. He was outstanding. So I thought, and I believe, that's what the Cubs were thinking as well. But then he did not live up. He didn't even come close to doing what he did on Friday in Detroit against those Tigers. So, and the other part, to kind of almost as a fan, and I think they're always picking on me personally, of course. It's just how I roll. Like, Drew Pomerantz finishing that game, why? Drew Pomerantz has been fantastic this year. Like, that was an absolutely wasted inning for him. Absolutely. If you were going to use him, you should have had him be the opener. The fact that they used him yesterday just bothered me, because he's been fantastic. And though you want to talk about, he ended up throwing, in my opinion, 16 useless pitches yesterday for the Cubs.
Yeah, I honestly think that they're probably going to do what they should do, which is the third option, give him another chance to keep a spot in the rotation. I think that you don't want to overreact to a bad start. As you said, Dustin, he had a couple of good starts. He's had a few good starts. He's a young guy. He's 25 years old. He's just only in his second year in the bigs. I just think that you kind of called him up because Steele goes down. You're relying on him. He's got innings left on his arm. I just think you ought to take advantage of what you have with a young guy and not kind of add. Listen, as we said, he was bad yesterday. They couldn't take him out because they're in the middle of playing all these games and they got to protect the bullpen. So he ate that game. I thought he did a good job of eating innings. Obviously, he didn't pitch well. But I think you move on and you live and you learn and you say bad matchup, bad day at the office, and go with the next one. I don't think you overreact to anything at this point.
They have so many analytics. They have so much infrastructure intellectually. They have so much data that I don't think that they are in the business of just shrugging and saying, let's go get them next time. I don't think that they can even afford to ignore this.
But they haven't made a move yet, and they have other people they got to be aware of. I think you just, you kind of whistle past the graveyard at this point. I mean, you want to use an opener? Okay. I would have no problem with that. But if you do that, then you probably have to do that for a while.
Yeah, commit to something until you get another alternative, have a better alternative. Because you're going to get some help along the way if Jed Hoyer is coming through with what he said he was going to do. Yeah. Pomerantz, for example, to counter what you're saying, he pitched the first inning against the Reds on May 31st. You know who pitched the second and then the third and fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh? Ben Brown. He was masterful, gave up one hit in six innings as the second inning guy.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've spent a little bit of time with Justin, more of a casual encounter than anything. Seems like a very knowledgeable person when it comes to the game. I know he's got a passion for baseball, and you know, he and I have some commonalities coming from the Metro Detroit area and have migrated to Chicago. So there's always something to talk about. I think that there's probably we used to root for the Tigers, and now we despise the Tigers. But I can just say that about myself. I can't speak for him.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Chris Getz, the general manager of the White Sox, and he's talking about the new owner. Well, not quite the new owner. The will eventually be owner.
Part owner.
Justin Ishbia. Well, he is I guess, investment. He's going to make a heavier investment, and we are delighted to welcome in Mitchell Armantrout of the Chicago Sun-Times, their fine reporter covering politics and stadia, which is exactly what this is. Mitchell, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks for having
you. Thanks for joining us.
I got to ask you, so as you research Justin Ishbia and as you look into his role and Jerry obviously kind of recruiting him for more investment, he was interested in perhaps buying the Minnesota Twins, and now he's in line to take over the White Sox. What do you believe is in it for him. In other words, why would he want to come on board with the uncertainty of whether he's taking over in 2029 or 2034 or however this thing is going to kind of end up being?
You know, I think this is kind of frustrating for White Sox fans because it was sort of laid out in this very Reinsdorf way, this convoluted sort of path to controlling ownership. But, you know, I think we can only sort of speculate at this point, but it seems like he thinks that this is his best chance to own a Major League Baseball team. Like you said, it sounds like he was really close to getting a bigger stake of the Minnesota Twins last year. And friends at The Athletic did a lot of great reporting on that earlier this year about basically Reinsdorf, when he got wind of that, swooped in and said, hey, you know, I'm looking to get out of this business fairly soon. So if you want to get a big piece of the White Sox pie, let's talk business. And I think that's kind of what came to a head last week. And, you know, like I said, this is all it apparently may or may not happen, but I don't think that Reinsdorf would come out and, you know, they wouldn't make this sort of announcement if they didn't think that this was a deal that was going to go down in 4 years and or 8 years, depending on, you know, the specifics of how it happens. Kind of a weird sort of path to controlling ownership, but, you know, Ishbia seems to think that this is his best bet. So we'll see.
Part of it may involve he's building a house in Winnetka. You address that as well. I also think it's interesting, he's not spoken publicly about this and declined your interview request as he has others, but he did say in a statement that you quote him as saying he looked at this as an investment in the future of the Chicago White Sox and an opportunity to deepen my commitment to the city and the team. I think, as you point out after that, in the paragraph that followed, that might quell some concerns that people might have about him moving the team to Nashville, where he has some business interests and did attend Vanderbilt as a graduate there. Did you get the sense in your reporting that that Nashville possibility is one we should take off the table?
You know, it's certainly something that his statement, you know, talking about how he wants to marry his passion for baseball and kind of business and invest in the Chicago area, that certainly seemed geared towards trying to allay those concerns about Nashville, which have obviously been there for years with the White Sox. Jerry Reinsdorf publicly floated that idea of a potential relocation to Nashville just a year ago. But, you know, Justin Ishbia, he went to Vanderbilt.
Right.
He owns this huge private equity firm that's made billions of dollars over the years. That's, you know, where the bulk of his wealth lays. Also, I should say his father is the founder of one of the biggest mortgage lenders in America. So that's where another big chunk of his wealth comes from. But yeah, I mean, he does a lot of business in Nashville. There's no getting away from that. He owns a big part of a Major League Soccer team in Nashville, the Nashville Soccer Club. You know, those ties are undeniable. And we'll kind of, I guess you can, as with anything with the White Sox, you sort of wait to be seen if maybe that is held as some sort of leverage point for, you know, stadium money talks down the line. But again, that's totally going four steps ahead of the game here. Just based on what he said and what I've, you know, been able to learn so far about Justin Ishbia, which I should say, you know, isn't all that much. It's just sort of kind of what's out there in the public record at this point. He did an interview with Forbes last year where he gave some insight to sort of how he thinks. But, you know, there's still a lot to learn about Justin. And I think White Sox fans are going to be, you know, they want to hear it from himself that, you know, he's invested in building here in Chicago.
You're listening to Mully and Haw on The Score. We're talking to Mitchell Armantrout of the Chicago Sun-Times, their fine reporter. And he joins us on the Otero Tire Hotline. Otero, your hometown tire, Otero.com. So, Mitchell, when we think about Stadia, right, we got the Bears. Where are they going? They didn't get the answer they wanted from the legislature in the last go-round. They can go back to them in September, but it looks increasingly like they're going to wind up in Arlington Heights. We know that that the Chicago Fire Soccer Club is building their own building, $650 million, at the 78. That is going to happen because they got a guy in Joe Mansueto who's going to fund it himself. The White Sox are looking for a new building. Jerry has talked about the need for the building to anchor the White Sox in Chicago. Obviously, that is a site where they keep saying, oh, you could fit it down there. Oh, don't worry about it. You can have a soccer stadium and a baseball stadium. And that sounds great. I'm just wondering, is there any appetite at all in Springfield? You know, first of all, I wonder about the Bears and how much infrastructure help they're going to get and how much tax breaks and all the rest of it they're going to get. And I know they got people down in Springfield working on it. But you got people from Chicago. There's a political element here that doesn't want to help them leave the city. I'm curious about that. And also, I would imagine Ishbia has enough money to help out significantly more than Jerry seems willing to in the 78. When would that happen if it were to happen? And again, public kind of appetite for spending money on stadia doesn't seem like it's overwhelming.
No, it's kind of at a historic low, it seems like. I talked to a lot of state legislators about this last week as they were wrapping up the budget in Springfield, and very tough budget year. You know, they were closing a $1 billion budget gap, and there really wasn't much room to talk about doing any favors for the Bears or the White Sox or whoever. And, you know, the one thing that a lot of those lawmakers have been telling me in the week since is, hey, look at Joe Mansueto. You know, that makes it a lot easier for you to build a stadium when you show up with your own money. When you're paying your way, you're not going to run into as many roadblocks. And, you know, say what you will about the way the Bears have handled things. You know, they still obviously are just kind of playing footsie with Arlington Heights and going back and forth. And, you know, obviously they're looking more towards Arlington Heights, but they still need a lot of help to make that happen. You know, regardless of that, the criticism that they've gotten for sort of going back and forth, you know, they still committed to paying $2 billion, the McCaskey family.
Right.
Again, you know, that might cover half the project cost. But that's a concrete number that Jerry Reinsdorf really hasn't quite committed to publicly. You know, he said that he would pay for some of this, stated that he really wanted to get at the 78. And I know the team still has some hope to do that, to squeeze in two stadiums at the 78. Should say the local alderman, Pat Dahl, is pretty vehemently opposed to having two big stadiums down there. She says the residents wouldn't go for that. So That's kind of a big political battle to watch in the months and years ahead, I'm sure. But yeah, the biggest thing that Justin Ishbia brings to the table for the White Sox is he's really rich. Not to be blunt or too obvious about it, but you know, this is a guy who's estimated net worth is almost twice that of Jerry Reinsdorf. You know, he can put some serious skin in the game for them. And you know, that obviously the more money that they can commit to this themselves, I think that's when they might get some buy-in from state lawmakers and, you know, city officials, as far as, you know, potentially getting some help from the public dollar side for some infrastructure, you know, the pipes and roads that any stadium needs. So, you know, I think that's, you know, again, this is all just reading the tea leaves, but right. You got to think that that's really what Reinsdorf is looking for here.
Based on your reporting, how involved is Related Midwest with the White Sox in wanting to build the ballpark next to the Chicago Fire Stadium, and how much, if any, effect did the Fire's announcement have on the White Sox days later making that kind of proclamation?
You know, I've been told that, you know, this announcement was going to happen either way, regardless of what the Fire, you know, had been planning. I don't know how much truth there is to that. I mean, it certainly is conspicuous timing to get this huge ownership transition plan announced just a few days after Joe Mansueto kind of called dibs on the 78 site. you know, I think that, you know, Related Midwest has been trying to make something big happen at the 78 for almost a decade now. And I think, you know, adding the White Sox to the mix, that would make it even more of a sort of a destination, kind of a focal point for you know, for getting folks down there into the South Loop. I haven't been able to really get through to folks at Related Midwest just to kind of get more of a rundown of exactly what they want to see happen as far as, you know, the two teams, but it's certainly kind of an exciting possibility.
The Michael Reese site was mentioned with the Bears. I don't know that the Bears ever seriously looked at it. They felt it was a little small for their idea of a dome, but somebody released a bunch of drawings of what it would look like, and I think it was the financiers themselves, the people that own that property. That is a beautiful location, and it's a big location, and if they could pull that off, might be another place to look at. But you know, you tend to understand that people want what they want, and especially like a guy like Jerry. If he prefers to be in the 78, he'll try to make that happen. I'm not sure how the legislators feel and if one location would be better from their perspective or would be more, more likely to be financed if you feel like you've got like an area in the city with the Michael Reese site that is just kind of wasted.
You know, at least as far as the local state rep there, Cam Buckner, and the alderman, Lamont Robinson, down in Bronzeville. I think they can get a lot more political heft on their side if they were to look at the Michael Reese site. It's really just kind of been a plot of land that's been sitting there for close to 20 years. Mayor Daley, back in the day, that was his big vision for an Olympic Village back when 2016 yep. was on his radar before that crashed and burned pretty early in the process. So the city bought this land, and it's just kind of sat there fallow for years and years and years. The developers who control this land on behalf of the city, they pitched the Bears really hard on trying to fit a stadium in there. Kevin Warren says that it's too narrow. There's, you know, an old rail line that goes through it.
Right.
Makes it not fitting for an NFL stadium, but you know, MLB stadiums typically have a smaller footprint than, you know, a 100,000 seat football stadium. And they're a little bit cheaper too, generally. Folks I've talked to the White Sox say that hasn't been on their radar. They really like what the possibilities at the 78. But state legislators really view that the Michael Reese site as an opportunity to bring some much needed development to Bronzeville, you know, an African American neighborhood that has been kind of left behind in a lot of other development efforts compared to other parts of the city. I think that that's one spot where if they were to commit to that, I think the state could get behind them a lot more easy than, you know, something like the 78.
Mitchell, nice job. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Mitchell Armantrout of the Chicago Sun-Times. Very interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's not the end of the story, obviously. It's just maybe beginning for the White Sox in terms of the ballpark and potential move to the South Loop.
He said it didn't affect the play. I mean, I just disagree with that. I think it did affect the play. You know, it's a situation where if Michael doesn't catch the ball, they call him out. And because he caught the ball, they called him safe. He didn't deny that it was interference. He didn't deny that he was out of the baseline, but because he caught the ball, it's not interference. At least that was the explanation.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the ejected man, not dejected, but ejected.
He's
that
ejected.
Is the manager of the Cubs.
Cub Craig fans Council. Are dejected. Craig Council ejected. Second night in a row. That's got to be a first for him in his career, right? Two nights in a row?
You said he's been thrown out 33 times?
Yeah.
And that means 31 before the last couple of days. So of the 31, how many of those could have been
consecutive? I don't know that probably has happened before in his career.
It'd be
worth checking into.
I would venture you're probably correct.
It's hard to get thrown out two nights in a row.
I don't know.
Consider the circumstances. They've been somewhat unusual these circumstances on Sunday, and then again, Sundays was ridiculous because
Sundays had nothing to do with him.
Had nothing to do with him, but he was defending his player, and you appreciate that.
Yes,
that's his role.
But Nico Hoerner got rung up and thrown out as fast as anybody you're ever going to see. He turned and he said, "You're having a bad day," and that was it.
And that was it. Quick overreaction by the umpire.
Yeah,
young umpire apparently. Okay, whatever. They lose that game, and Monday night they lose another one. I think Craig Counsell needs to stick around. They're 0-2 when he gets ejected.
It's not helping.
No, it's not.
And Dustin thought that Ian Happ hit a home run as a direct result of that, if I'm not putting words in his mouth.
I think he did say that.
And then you said he hit a home run. Let's move him down the order.
Well, you're kind of oversimplifying both things. Dustin suggested there was cause and effect from the ejection to the homer.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe it did fire up Ian Happ. He said, I'm going to go up to the plate and I'm going to be more locked in because Craig Counsell, this is for you. I don't think that was the case. A little overdramatic. Now, my thing about moving him down wasn't necessarily because Ian Happ doesn't deserve to hit leadoff or they don't like the fact that he's a grinder at the top of the order. But let's be realistic about what's going on here with the Cub offense. We spent the first 2 months or so referring to the Cub offense as historically good, off to a record start. And boy, they lengthened the lineup, and Kyle Tucker did this, and Seiya Suzuki's doing that. And PCA, oh my gosh, MVP. Okay, now, in the last week or so, since they got shut out, they've been shut out twice in the last 9 games, and they scored 1 run on Sunday. They struggled to get anything going last night. They hit 2 home runs, but managed only 5 hits. That's a meager 5 hits.
It's a meager number.
I just, from this seat, he asked the relevant questions, hopefully. And one of them is it time to shake up the batting order?
I think the batting order, you could shake it up, but you could do it at the bottom of the batting order because I don't know that Carson Kelly could be moved down.
That's just activity.
Anymore.
I want accomplishment.
Then move Matt Shaw up ahead of Dansby Swanson.
Oh, now that's not a bad idea. Matt Shaw, who's hitting better, he should probably be, what, 7th, 6th?
Okay.
Carson Kelly's cooled off. Dansby Swanson's cooled off.
Yeah.
If you want to bat them 8th and 9th, great.
That's pretty good 8th and 9th.
Put Matt Shaw 7th and then fill in everybody else after that. But I like PCA at the top, maybe Suzuki 2nd, maybe Tucker 3rd, then Michael Bush, and then Ian Happ.
I think the top of the
change
lineup's
it up.
Okay.
Change it up. Make something happen. Mix it up. This is a struggling offense. They need to go.
Numbers aren't good. They are a suddenly struggling offense. I wouldn't argue with that. But they played some really good pitchers. I don't know that there's any need to panic or any reason to be overly concerned. I think you kind of roll with the punches a little bit. They won 6 consecutive series, then they lost one in Detroit because they ran into 2 really good pitchers. That's all that happened.
You are placing a lot of faith in the offense and the lineup. You are placing a lot of confidence, as he has earned, in Craig Counsell, correct?
Oh, I'm placing confidence in what we've seen all year long.
Okay.
That's what I believe they're a pretty good team.
They are a very good team.
Yeah.
So they're the best in the National League.
They woulda, coulda, shoulda won last night.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And that was a team that they were facing that had lost 5 consecutive games and had a guy coming off maternity leave, Zach Wheeler, who's a really good pitcher. So they were desperate to win a game. I think they've lost 9 of 10, and they needed going into the game, and they needed to win a game, and they won a game in 11 innings. And I guess I'm not as panicked about it. I mean,
don't overstate it. I'm not panicked.
You're changing the lineup.
That's not panic.
It is a reaction to what you called a broken offense.
I would say that's not panic. That's a response. That is more prudent than panic. I don't think it's panic. We got one of the best hitters in the National League.
Yeah, I think they're going to be okay. I wouldn't – listen, they won six series in a row. They lost one. They lost the first game of a series. Are they going to win this series? If they do, then all is fine, right?
I'm not saying the sky is falling before the texters get on me. And I am not saying that this is something that is even a crisis yet. I think you tweak. I think it's tweak. You tweak the lineup. You're Craig Counsell. You've got – A lot of different hitters, and you can use a lot of different ways.
But Craig Counsell, try not to get thrown out of the game tonight.
Yeah, right. Twice in the last six games, the Cubs have been shut out.
Yes.
And a third time, they scored one run. So that's all I'm responding to. I'm not overreacting, I don't believe.
Right.
I don't want to.
They only scored one run against, you know, the best pitcher in baseball in Skubal.
Yeah.
They were shut out against Jack Flaherty, who is an excellent pitcher, and
Mackenzie Gore, as you pointed out.
Mackenzie Gore, who is a really
good lefty.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't think I think that just circumstances are such that it's a more difficult period in the schedule, and you're okay. Everything's okay.
I appreciate the feedback,
though.
And
you're coming home.
It's good to be engaged. But, you know, if you're not going to react to something like getting shut out twice in six games, I think it's okay.
They should have done more yesterday. They had a chance when Pete Crow Armstrong finally doubled in the winning run that was only a run that got you the lead. And then you had him on third base because there was a wild pitch. If you don't knock him in, then you got a problem. And they didn't knock him in. That's how they had a problem. And then they went into the bottom part of the inning and unfortunately couldn't get an out.
And while we can quibble on what to do offensively, I think we can all agree that the Cubs have a glaring need. And I don't know if that's overstating it either, but coming out of the Detroit series,
you saw the value
of having top of the rotation starters make big statements in huge series. And I think the Cubs lack that.
Do you think Detroit is a better baseball team than the Cubs?
Yes, I do.
And do you think they're a better offense than the Cubs?
No, I don't.
I think right now they're playing better defensively,
and their pitching is better.
Yeah.
Because in a playoff series, in clutch situations, I think they have a better starting rotation.
Yeah, if you had a pitcher who was as good as the best pitcher in baseball currently in Skubal, reigning Cy Young winner, you'd feel better about your offense.
You would definitely feel better about some of these tweaks if some of these dry spells. You'd be able to – right now the margin for error seems incredibly thin and small, which is why Jed Hoyer, when he was on the show podcast with John Heyman, our guy, and Joel Sherman, talked about why – that need for starting pitching will be at the top of his priority list as the trade deadline nears.
Yeah, I think barring injury, there's probably some small things on the offensive side, but really I think that our position playing group has been really good. I think that the thing that we've done probably better than anything offensively is just the depth we have, top to bottom. I think we're getting production, kind of both offensively and defensively from all our spots, and that's made a huge difference. So I think – yeah, as I think about it, I think that, pitching is the likely direction we would take if we were adding.
Yeah, I mean, that is about as obvious as anything out there, right? I mean, it's great that he's transparent in what he's saying, but I think everybody and their brother knows that, right? They lost Justin Steele, and he's not returning. They're down Shota. When is Shota coming back? Do we have any clarity on that?
I don't know.
We'll talk to Tommy Hotovy at 9 o'clock this morning, and we'll ask him where he is.
Shota pitches today in Arizona.
Yes.
And just because it's obvious when you hear the general manager give voice to it, that doesn't always happen.
Oh, no. It's a good thing to have. What I'm saying is I don't think there's a Cub fan that would argue with that idea. I think you feel like, the third base position has been solidified. You saw the great defense yesterday. Everything's going okay there, and Matt Shaw's doing enough that you don't worry about whether or not he's going to be a good professional.
That's a good point.
So could you use more help in the bullpen? Yeah, but you got a nice run out of Presley yesterday. He hit 95. He got himself in trouble, and then he got out of it. And boy, I mean, Valencia was hitting 101. That was really
good. Let's talk about that bullpen for a second. As pointed out on Cubs.com by Jordan Bastian, over the last month, essentially, since May 7th, the bullpen has turned in a major league leading 1.68 ERA in 107 innings, giving up 20 earned runs. And guys like Presley, Pomerantz, Brad Keller, Theobar, Chris Flexen, they have no earned runs allowed between them. You think about that.
Yeah,
so that's a bunch of guys,
yesterday,
a collection of veterans who come to the Cubs and basically say, fix me. And Tommy Heinsohn says, okay, here's the manual. There's the pitching lab. When you come out, you'll be better.
It's true.
It seems like it.
And you know, I got to tell you, we have felt that way about the bullpen for a while. Like, that's just kind of – the bullpen is a living, breathing entity that changes and goes on. It's different than
other parts. You make it sound like a mascot. Like –
it's a lovely, it's a wonderful,
something that walks around back
there in
the bullpen.
It's a beautiful pet.
Yeah.
It's a proud dog of a bullpen. 312-644-6767. Let's try Ben. He's on the Odyssey app. Hey, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
Ben, don't tell me we lost you. You can almost hear breathing there. We lost Ben.
Sign of life. He's a has-been.
We should have gotten him. My fault. Let's try Ed. Ed's listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Ed.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
All right, so a couple of ways I think Council is totally stepping on Cubs run production here. First of all, Dansby Swanson, not that good a hitter. We can admit it at this point. I mean, he's actually not valuable enough to bat ninth. He's more like an eight hitter. And then, excuse me, I was exercising. One sec.
That's okay.
And then,
breathe.
All right, one sec.
Make sure you breathe.
One more point.
Okay,
one more point.
Put it back
half
on the rack.
Down, right?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so half goes down, PCA is batting leadoff, and they're sailing along, producing runs. Then he steps on that and puts half back in. There's no need to put him back in there. Just see how it goes. Then you reserve the option to bring half back to the beginning of the lineup. So that's it.
Okay, Ed. Thank you, buddy.
Go back to the squat rack. I think that's a good point.
Get that work done.
David,
all you want is for PCA to bat leadoff. It's like you're coming up with six different arguments and you're making all these. You just want PCA to leadoff.
My argument.
That's what you want.
Sam's argument. Was that Sam? I'm sorry. That was exerciser's argument.
That was Ed.
Ed, I'm sorry. Guys. Ed the exerciser.
I love that Ed is like talking to us while he's exercising.
Well, sometimes you're on hold for a while. You can get some more reps in.
So there are guys at the gym looking at him like, why are you sitting on the bench? Why don't you get up and work out or leave? One more. Let me just. Let's try John. John's on the Odyssey app.
Hi, John.
Wow. Hey, John.
Hey, guys, enjoying you. Just look at, sometimes you let hitters hit when they're supposed to advance the runner with no outs. And they're not sacrificed. They're not moving the runner along.
Right.
Look at last night in that last inning where
Swanson strikes out.
Didn't do what he's supposed to do.
Yep.
But look at Philadelphia, last point. They bunted their men's around, and they scored.
Mm.
I'll hang up.
That's a good point.
They got two bunt hits.
They did. But I think the philosophy, they did a nice job of getting their run scored.
Yes.
Because in the extra innings, it's a different mindset. Because of the Manfred man on second base.
Yes.
I think you have to have a different sort of approach than you do the rest of the game. Manufacturing runs is something the Cubs haven't done well because they haven't gotten a lot of hits. You're not going to complain about Saturday when they hit five home runs. But even Craig Counsell said, I think after that, we didn't do much else except for the homers.
Yeah, and that sounds funny, but it was also, what was the statistic? It was the first time a team had not driven in a run with runners in scoring position and still won a game with six runs, right?
Yes, I think that was the number. He seemed to be implying
since 2016.
Speaking of something that maybe he saw that we're seeing now, like he knows that they're not they're not hitting on all cylinders right now.
Right.
It's feast or famine, boom or bust.
It is feast or famine. And unfortunately, yesterday was two solo homers.
Yes. Kyle Tucker, when he hit that homer early, I thought, well, they're going to get to Zach Wheeler. The time off really hurt Wheeler, and he's going to have a struggling evening. And then he didn't struggle at all. Ian Happ hits a homer. That was clutch. That was great. Tied the game 2-2. But they didn't do much else to that. Three other hits. That's not good enough. So I think that against a guy like Zach Wheeler, you've got to try to find ways to manufacture runs more than the Cubs did. When you see Zach Wheeler, do you think of any – you remember the days when he
– Oh, I remember. Yeah, believe me, I remember.
Near White Sox. Oh,
you don't think that goes through my head every time?
I wondered that.
You know I know that.
I thought when you mentioned the fact that he was on –
Would you like to prod me with a pole?
I thought when you mentioned that he was on paternity leave, correct?
He was.
And I thought that you were going to reference his wife being the reason why he didn't sign with the White Sox.
His wife would prefer to be in Philadelphia. She had family there as opposed to the south side of Chicago. I'm not going to blame her. People, you know, happy wife, happy life. The guy wants to do right by his missus. Nothing wrong with that. And I think it ended up being a right decision. Didn't he win a World Series?
It was the right decision for Zach Wheeler.
Okay.
There's no doubt about it.
Well,
it was not a great decision if you were a White Sox fan hoping he was going to come save the day. I'm sorry. The look on your face.
You better stay out of our business. You better stay out of White Sox business.
Sorry, Kenny. Sorry.
We haven't heard from Kenny in a while.
We need to look into that.
Yeah.
Rick Hahn's making the comeback tour. He's talking a lot. Maybe Kenny has something to say.
I thought he was only talking to the MLB network.
Apparently, he's only talking to national media.
Okay. Well, that's all right. I mean, he's welcome.
The request was in and declined.
Yeah.
Politely. That's professionally.
Right. Have we got who else have we requested? Do we have requests in? I talked to Jerry about what's going on, if he wants to.
You want to, or you have requested him?
I'm saying,
of course,
if he wishes to unburden himself,
we are
here. Yeah, we're not going to ask you.
That's
about
a standing Ohtani. Invitation.
Always. And we've had Chris Getz on. We've had Will Venable on. I talk to those guys anytime I want to talk.
Brooks Boyer on.
Brooks, we haven't had on our show. You know, a couple of weeks. I think we tried to get Brooks last week, but he would only do you and on your own on Saturday.
That wasn't me. I had nothing
Brooks,
to do with
Brooks
that.
Brooks apparently mad at me.
I had nothing to do with that.
More
that
likely,
all Bruce. That's all
more
Bruce.
Likely, he just dislikes Dustin.
Bruce wields all the power that weekend show.
I'm happy to share my number to Brooks with you, which you probably have, and maybe you should reach out directly.
I will, because I got to talk to him anyway. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Speaking of White Sox business.
Yes, we are going to talk to
Mitchell Armantrout from the Sun-Times.
And he did a nice story on Justin Ishbia. Mm-hmm. And we're very curious to talk about the possibilities moving forward, what his role will be and what it means. And we'll do that next. Mullionhaw on the Score.
Excuse me, I was exercising.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.